This is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. Coming up on the show, Gina Bennett brings us Ask a Teacher. Later, she'll meet me in the studio for a chat. We also hear from Gregory Stockel. We close with an American story, The Devil and Tom Walker by Washington Irving. But first,
New York Mayor Eric Adams has been using artificial intelligence, or AI, to make robot phone calls in several languages. The technology changes Adams' voice into languages that he does not speak, and it raises new ethical questions about the government's use of AI. Adams told reporters about the phone calls, called robocalls, recently. He said they have gone out in languages like Mandarin and Yiddish for city events. They have not included any information that he only speaks English or that the calls were created using AI. People stop me on the street all the time and say, "I didn't know you speak Mandarin," Adam said. The robocalls that we're using different languages to speak directly to the diversity of New Yorkers. The calls come as questions arise over how best to use AI ethically and legally. Deepfake videos or audio can make it appear that anyone, anywhere, is doing anything a person on the other side of a computer screen wants them to do. The Surveillance Technology Oversight Project called Adams' robocalls an unethical use of AI that is misleading to the people of New York. Albert Fox Kahn is executive director of the organization. He said the calls are very unethical, especially because they are paid for with public money. Yes, we need announcements in all of New Yorkers' native languages, but the deepfakes are just a creepy vanity project. There is a growing use of artificial intelligence and deepfakes, especially in politics and election misinformation. It has led to calls for more rules and policing from the government and major media companies. Google was the first big technology company to say it would identify political advertisements that use AI to fake a candidate's voice or actions. Meta does not have a rule specific to the use of AI in political ads. But the company has a policy restricting fake or manipulated audio and imagery used for misinformation. A bipartisan bill in the U.S. Senate would ban materially deceptive deepfakes relating to federal candidates, with exceptions for parody. This month, two Democratic members of Congress sent a letter to the heads of Meta and X, formerly known as Twitter. The letter shared concerns about AI-created political ads on social media platforms. In recent weeks, a number of technology companies have shown off AI tools that can take a person's speech and make it sound as if that person is speaking a different language. In September, the music streaming service Spotify introduced an AI feature to translate a recording or podcast into several languages in the speaker's voice. More recently, the startup 11 Labs in October introduced a voice translation tool. The tool can change spoken words to another language while keeping the voice of the speaker. A spokesperson for Adam's office said they used the 11labs tool for their robocalls. Native speakers listened to the recordings before they went out to make sure the translations were accurate. Calls have been made in Spanish, Yiddish, Mandarin, Cantonese, and Haitian Creole. Adams defended himself against ethical questions about his use of artificial intelligence, saying his office is trying to reach New Yorkers through the languages they speak. "I got one thing. I've got to run the city, and I have to be able to speak to people in the languages that they understand. And I'm happy to do so," he said. I'm Dan Novak.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Australian researchers say they have produced the most complete history of the universe to date. An Australian National University team says the study offers new ideas about how the universe might have started. The research team says the study's aim was to understand the beginnings of all the objects in the universe. The American Space Agency, NASA, says the universe includes all of space and all the matter and energy that space contains. It even includes time itself, and, of course, it includes you. NASA adds that the Milky Way is but one of billions of galaxies in the observable universe. All of them, including our own, are thought to have supermassive black holes at their centers. A black hole is an area in space with gravity so strong that even light cannot escape it. The Australian team says it has created the most complete maps showing the history of the universe. The lead writer is honorary professor Charlie Lineweaver. He said that when the universe began 13.8 billion years ago in a hot Big Bang, there were no objects, such as atoms, people, planets, stars, or galaxies. The writers say the mapping provides new ideas about how the universe came into being. The Australian National University, or ANU, study is published in the most recent publication of the American Journal of Physics. The first map shows temperature and density of the universe as it expanded and cooled. The second map shows the mass and size of all objects in the universe. The ANU researchers say the study suggests the universe may have started as what is known as an instanton, not a singularity. An instanton has a defined size and mass. A singularity is defined as a point of infinite density and temperature. Put simply, this would mean that the beginning of the universe was not infinite in size. That is important because researchers say what lies beyond the limits of the universe is also a major mystery. Lineweaver told VOA that mapping the universe will increase our understanding of it. When you extrapolate in so many different ways, it gives you just a lay of the land that I just think is a beautiful way of understanding the universe, he said. If there is one way to understand the Big Bang, it started out hot and dense, and it got cooler and less dense. And as it did that, particles and objects of all kinds condensed out of this hot, dense background. He said that understanding that is something that we should all make an attempt to do, because that is probably the most important understanding underlying the history of the universe. Lineweaver says he believes that research into the beginning of the universe could help to answer some basic scientific questions about life beyond Earth. The basic idea is, well, if we can figure out how we got here, maybe we can make better guesses about whether other life forms have evolved elsewhere. I'm Gregory Stockel.
Hello. This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question about using when with past simple or past continuous tenses. Hi, I'm a learner from China. Could you please help me with the following question? Is the sentence, "the good news came when we weren't expecting it," grammatically correct? If it is correct, how can we understand the following rule? As a general rule, you should use while in a clause with a continuous action using a verb in a continuous tense. Use when in a clause with the single action using a simple past or present tense. Many thanks, Jinye. Thank you for writing, Jinye. Keep up the good work learning English with us. The sentence, "the good news came when we weren't expecting it," is grammatically acceptable. As for when and while, we answered a question about how to use when and while in an earlier Ask a Teacher program. We explained that some experts call both words subordinating conjunctions in some cases. This means they signal how pieces of information are related to one another. And we shared that general rule to give an idea of how they are used in English. Let's look at these two examples.
When the phone rang, I was making dinner. While I was making dinner, the phone rang.
While and when both relate to time, although while usually signals that two events are happening at the same time. Another issue to consider is how people use language in real life. Sometimes the real-life use of language does not seem to equal textbook rules. For example, many native users of English use when with continuous action. In fact, when is used with past progressive more often than while in the corpus of contemporary American English. Here are some example sentences from the corpus.
When I was growing up, I wanted to be a cowboy. I was thinking about her when we were talking. When he was running for president, Obama gave electrifying speeches.
Please let us know if this explanation has helped you, Jinye. Do you have a question about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Gina Bennett.
You just heard Ask a Teacher. And now the teacher is in the house. Hi, Gina Bennett. thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, Katie. This is my first Ask a Teacher and my first time on the podcast, so I'm excited.
It's good to have you. The question in Ask a Teacher was, is this sentence grammatically correct? I noted that you did not answer, yes, it is grammatically correct. Instead, you said, yes, it is grammatically acceptable. Is there a difference?
Great question, Katie. The sentence in the question used when with past tense. This is an excellent example of descriptive grammar. Descriptive grammar explains how people really use language. Sometimes the rules from textbooks present language that sounds artificial. The sentence in the Ask a Teacher question may not be grammatically correct, following some textbook rules, but when people use when in real life, it is normal to use simple past. So we can say when with simple past is correct according to descriptive grammar, but maybe not some textbook grammar.
How interesting.
I love to talk about descriptive grammar. People might be surprised how often descriptive grammar differs from textbook grammar.
I'm glad we talked about that, Gina. I'm sure we'll see you on the show again.
Our story today is The Devil and Tom Walker. It was written by Washington Irving. Here is Shep O'Neill with our story.
Before we begin our story, let us go back 300 years to the late 1600s. In those years, one of the most famous men in the world was Captain William Kidd. Captain Kidd was a pirate. He sailed the seas, capturing any ships he found. He and his men took money from these ships. Captain Kidd hid this money in different places. Captain Kidd was captured by the English in Boston, Massachusetts, and executed in the year 1701. From that time on, people all over the world searched in many places for Captain Kidd's stolen money. The people who lived in Massachusetts in the 1700s believed Captain Kidd buried some of his treasure near Boston. Not far from Boston was a small river which ran into the Atlantic Ocean. An old story said that Captain Kidd had come up this river from the ocean. Then he buried his gold and silver and jewels under a big tree. The story said that this treasure was protected by the devil himself, who was a good friend of Captain Kidd. In the year 1727, a man named Tom Walker lived near this place. Tom Walker was not a pleasant man. He loved only one thing, money. There was only one person worse than Tom. That was his wife. She also loved money. These two were so hungry for money that they even stole things from each other. One day, Tom Walker was returning home through a dark forest. He walked slowly and carefully so that he would not fall into a pool of mud. At last, he reached a piece of dry ground. Tom sat down on a tree that had fallen. As he rested, he dug into the earth with a stick. He knew the story that Indians had killed prisoners here as sacrifices to the devil. but this did not trouble him. The only devil Tom was afraid of was his wife. Tom's stick hit something hard. He dug it out of the earth. It was a human skull. In the skull was an Indian axe. Suddenly, Tom Walker heard an angry voice. "Don't touch that skull!" Tom looked up. He saw a giant sitting on a broken tree. Tom had never seen such a man. He wore the clothes of an Indian. His skin was almost black and covered with ashes. His eyes were big and red. His black hair stood up from his head. He carried a large axe. The giant asked, "What are you doing on my land?" But Tom Walker was not afraid. He answered, "What do you mean? This land belongs to Mr. Peabody." The strange man laughed and pointed to the tall trees. Tom saw that one of the trees had been cut by an axe. He looked more closely and saw that the name Peabody had been cut into the tree. Mr. Peabody was a man who got rich by stealing from Indians. Tom looked at the other trees. Every one had the name of some rich, important man from Massachusetts. Tom looked at the tree on which he was sitting. It also had a name cut into it, the name of Absalom Croninshield. Tom remembered that Mr. Croninshield was a very rich man. People said he got his money, as Captain Kidd did, by stealing ships. Suddenly, the giant shouted, "Croninshield is ready to be burned. I'm going to burn many trees this winter." Tom told the man that he had no right to cut Mr. Peabody's trees. The stranger laughed and said, "I have every right to cut these trees. This land belonged to me a long time before Englishmen came to Massachusetts. The Indians were here. Then you Englishmen killed the Indians. Now I show Englishmen how to buy and sell slaves, and I teach their women how to be witches." Tom Walker now knew that the giant was the devil himself. But Tom Walker was still not afraid. The giant said Captain Kidd had buried great treasures under the trees, but nobody could have them unless the giant permitted it. He said Tom could have these treasures, but Tom had to agree to give the giant what he demanded. Tom Walker loved money as much as he loved life, but he asked for time to think. Tom went home. He told his wife what had happened. She wanted Captain Kidd's treasure. She urged him to give the devil what he wanted. Tom said no. At last, Mrs. Walker decided to do what Tom refused to do. She put all her silver in a large piece of cloth and went to see the dark giant. 2 days passed. She did not return home. She was never seen again. People said later that Tom went to the place where he had met the giant. He saw his wife's cloth hanging in a tree. He was happy because he wanted to get her silver. But when he opened the cloth, there was no silver in it, only a human heart. Tom was sorry he lost the silver, but not sorry he lost his wife. He wanted to thank the giant for this. And so every day he looked for the giant. Tom finally decided that he would give the giant what he wanted in exchange for Captain Kidd's treasure. One night, Tom Walker met the giant and offered his soul in exchange for Captain Kidd's treasure. The devil now wanted more than that. He said that Tom would have to use the treasure to do the devil's work. He wanted Tom to buy a ship and bring slaves to America. As we have said, Tom Walker was a hard man who loved nothing but money. But even he could not agree to buy and sell human beings as slaves. He refused to do this. The devil then said that his second most important work was lending money. The men who did this work for the devil forced poor people who borrowed money to pay back much more than they had received. Tom said he would like this kind of work. So the devil gave him Captain Kidd's treasure. A few days later, Tom Walker was a lender of money in Boston. Everyone who needed help, and there were many who did, came to him. Tom Walker became the richest man in Boston. When people were not able to pay him, he took away their farms, their horses, and their houses. As he got older and richer, Tom began to worry. What would happen when he died? He had promised his soul to the devil. Maybe he could break that promise. Tom then became very religious. He went to church every week. He thought that if he prayed enough, he could escape from the devil. One day, Tom took the land of a man who had borrowed money. The poor man asked for more time to pay. "Please do not destroy me," he said. "You have already taken all my money." Tom got angry and started to shout, "Let the devil take me if I have taken any money from you." That was the end of Tom Walker. For just then he heard a noise. He opened the door. There was the black giant holding a black horse. The giant said, "Tom, I have come for you." He picked up Tom and put him on the horse. Then he hit the horse, which ran off, carrying Tom. Nobody ever saw Tom Walker again. A farmer said that he saw the black horse with a man on it running wildly into the forest. After Tom Walker disappeared, the government decided to take Tom's property, but there was nothing to take. All the papers which showed that Tom owned land and houses were burned to ashes. His boxes of gold and silver had nothing in them but small pieces of wood. The wood came from newly cut trees. Tom's horses died, and his house suddenly burned to ashes.
That's all the time we have for today's show. but join us again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program. Thanks for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedel.